accepted my instructions without duplicity, showing them proper respect, you have worshipped me properly. Whatever instructions you took from me, you have carried out, and thereby you have honored me. Purport. Lord Brahma, as the first living entity within the universe, is supposed to be the spiritual master of everyone, and he is also the father and the creator of all beings. Kardama Muni is one of the Prajapatis, or creators of the living entities, and he is also the son of Brahma. Brahma praises Kardama because he carried out the orders of the spiritual master in toto and without cheating. The conditioned soul in the material world has the disqualification of cheating. He has four disqualifications. He is sure to commit mistakes. He is sure to be illusioned. He is prone to cheat others. And his senses are imperfect. But if one carries out the order of the spiritual master by the cyclic succession, or the parampara system, he overcomes the four defects. Therefore, knowledge received from the spiritual master is not cheating. Any other knowledge which is manufactured by the conditioned soul is cheating only. Brahma knew well that Kardama Muni exactly carried out the instructions received from him, and that he actually honored his spiritual master. To honor the spiritual master means to carry out his instructions word for word. So in this text we are hearing that by following the orders of our spiritual master, we can overcome our four defects. Can you remember what are the four defects?
Imperfect senses.
The tendency. That comes in the end.
Subject to illusion.
We made mistakes, and then that was the tendency to cheat others. So when we follow a spiritual master, then these imperfections can be overcome. I find it very important, you know, to understand we are imperfect, and we need to follow spiritual source, or need to follow Krishna to become perfect. Now, to follow Krishna in this world, for that we accept the spiritual master. We actually have faith that when we get an instruction from our spiritual master, that is what is Krishna's will. This is how we approach it. Now, let us now read the next text, because in the next text we are informed what is the right attitude of a disciple when he gets orders. It's a very, let me say, a text which I'm sure you will read after this lecture in your own private time, because it is at first glance quite in, let me say, it is thought-provoking. Etavat yeva shushrusha karya pitari putrakai baramit yanumanyeta gauravena guru vacha. Sons ought to render service to their father exactly as to this extent. What is the extent? It's coming now. One should obey the command of his father or spiritual master with due deference, saying, "Yes, sir." Two words in this verse are very important. One word is Pitari and another word is Guru. The son or disciple should accept the words of his spiritual master and father without hesitation. Whatever the father and the spiritual master order should be taken without argument. Yes. There should be no instance in which the disciple or the son says, "This is not correct, I cannot carry it out." When he says that, he is fallen. The father and the spiritual master are on the same platform because the spiritual master is the second father. The higher classes are called Dvija, twice born. Whenever there is a question of birth, there must be a father. The first birth is made possible by the actual father, and the second birth is made possible by the spiritual master. Sometimes the father and the spiritual master may be the same man, and sometimes they are different men. In any case, the order of the father or the order of the spiritual master must be carried out without hesitation, with an immediate yes. There should be no argument. That is real service to the father and to the spiritual master. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has stated that the order of the spiritual master is the life and soul of the disciples. As a man cannot separate his life from his body, a disciple cannot separate the order of the spiritual master from his life. If a disciple follows the instruction of the spiritual master in that way, he is sure to become perfect. This is confirmed in the Upanishads. The import of Vedic instruction is revealed automatically only to one who has implicit faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and in his spiritual master. One may be materially considered an illiterate man, but if he has faith in the spiritual master as well as in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the meaning of scriptural revelation is immediately manifested before him. Okay, so for all of us who want to read these two texts in their private reading time, it's in the third canto, chapter 24, text number 12 and 13. Let me also give a short summary of this text. Here, the main point really is the willingness of the disciple to accept the orders of the spiritual master, and this is expressed with an analogy by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I'm sorry, this is one example how the conditioned soul is bound to make mistakes. By Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the order of the spiritual master is the life force of the disciple. And just like you cannot take away the life force from a human being, you would kill him actually. In the same way, you cannot take away the order from the life of, or we as disciples cannot take away the order of our spiritual master from our life. It gives us strength. It is described that for a real disciple, when he gets an order of his spiritual master, that order carries actually the strength to do it. Like, for instance, someone may get the instruction, please go out on Sankirtan. Now, if he does this as following the, you know, like following the order of, or wanting to follow the order of his spiritual master, but he may be a little insecure and think, oh, to go out on Sankirtan, it is difficile, it is difficult. But if he has that connection with his spiritual master, he knows it's the order of my spiritual master, he will do it and get the strength which is necessary to do this instruction. I think we all know, as disciples of our spiritual masters, that sometimes it's very, very difficult to do a particular thing. It seems almost that all our senses, and our mind, and everything protests. I don't know if you have this experience, but I certainly have this experience. But then if one can somehow get himself or herself to understanding, well, the order of my spiritual master, and let me just try it, and one tries it to do it, then all of a sudden one experiences some strength which was before that time not there. Do you have this experience in your life? Some devotees nod with their head. I think we all have this experience to some extent. Remember how you did some service in your life which was difficult, and how you could do it. Like, for me, to be very honest, to go on Sankirtan in the heavy German winter was very difficult. Springtime, summertime, autumn time, no problem. But winter time, great problem. I remember we did it, and somehow it was possible all of a sudden. And not by my own strength, but by the strength which was embedded in this order. So these are the two, this is the main point of this amazing purport. Let me now start the lecture. Ich erinnere, da kannst du mein grünes, kleines Stoffbuch, was ich immer habe, aus dem Shastra Background. We have in the Chaitanya Charitamrita a wonderful example of a wonderful disciple who is no one else than the servant Govinda from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda Das. He had the order to massage Lord Chaitanya after he had taken his meal. Lord Chaitanya at that time would lie down, and then Govinda would quickly come and he would massage the legs of the Lord, and the Lord would fall asleep. That was his service after lunch. He had many services, but that was his after lunch service. So one day Mahaprabhu was so extremely tired that he immediately after taking his lunch lay down, and he laid down actually in the doorway, before the door. So to come and massage his lotus feet was only possible if Govinda stepped over the body of the Lord. Now this of course is an offense. We are not allowed to step over the bodies of Vaishnavas, and certainly not over the bodies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. But Govinda, remembering this order, thought very deeply. Then he spread a chadar over the body of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya was very tired. He was sleeping already. Then he stepped over the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started his service by massaging the lotus feet and also legs of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya kept on sleeping. And after some time, I believe it was an hour or 2 hours, I do not remember, but a substantial amount of time, he woke up and he saw Govinda in the room. He said, "Govinda, why are you still here? You have not taken any prasadam." See, because Govinda would, you know, first do his service, massaging the Lord, and afterwards take prasadam. So now 2 hours or so had passed, and he was all the time still in that house or in that room. So Mahaprabhu said, "Govinda, you have not taken any prasad. What is happening here?" Oh, said Govinda, "If I would have taken prasad, I would have stepped over your body, and that would have been an offense." You follow? But said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "To come into this room, you had to step already over my body. You have already done this." Govinda said, "Yes, but that was for service. If I would have gone again over your body, that would have been for sense gratification. That would have been for my eating. That is the difference. For service, I am prepared to step over you a million of times. But if I'm stepping over you for sense gratification, that's very bad. That I will never ever think of doing." So, this is the example of a real disciple. A real disciple is interested to do the service which the spiritual master has given him. It's his life force. And he will, on the other hand, avoid as much as possible activities which are performed for his own gratification, sense gratification. Now, you must admit, this is a very high standard. I do not know how you feel when you hear about this story of Govinda. I think on one side we are very inspired to hear about such a wonderful servant. But on the other side, when we compare us with Govinda, we think, oh, there's still a lot of room for improvement in our lives. Isn't it? This, I think, is a natural reaction of any thoughtful Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. It's very, very difficult to act on this platform, which is a platform of total surrender. "For your service, I can step over you a million of times, but for my own belly, I can't. It is impossible for me." So this is in the scriptures we find that there are six symptoms for a surrendered devotee, and it is only if a devotee comes to this platform of full surrender that Krishna will hear and answer his prayers. Sometimes we are asking ourselves the question, let me say it like this, a devotee feels the need to pray to Krishna. I spoke about this, I believe, already in Belgium at one time. Once a philosopher called Søren Kierkegaard, he said, the question is not if God hears our prayer. The real question is if we hear his answer. Let me repeat this. The question is not whether or not God hears our prayer. The real question is, do we hear his answer? How do you like this? So we go before Gaunitai and we pray, my dear Gaunitai, please give me this, give me an inspiration about this particular subject matter. I'm constantly doing it because there are so many things which are very difficult to answer. And then the real question which matters is, do we hear Gaunitai's answer? What is their desire? What is their will? What is their wish? What is their opinion? This is a real question. Now, only that devotee will be able to pray to Krishna and hear his answer, who fulfills the qualities of surrender. A devotee who is not really surrendered to Krishna will not get the answer from Krishna. I think we all know this from our own psychology. If someone asks us a question and we know when I answer him this question, he will not accept it, then we simply don't feel inspired to answer. Imagine you would be stopped on the street by two drunkards and they would ask you, how can I drive to Zurich? And you know they will not be able to, they don't really want to drive to Zurich. They go like, how can I drive to Zurich? You really don't feel inspired to tell them the exact way, because you know they will never utilize this information properly. Isn't it our natural position? I don't know, sometimes children ask you questions. If I now go into the deep answer, I waste half an hour and they won't be able to follow this and so on. So Krishna, psychology is the same. Only to someone who is surrendered will he give an answer. The Lord will not waste his time with an unsurrendered person. In the same way, the spiritual master will guide a disciple who is surrendered, but a disciple who has already made his or her own plan. What can one guide? It is not possible to give real guidance to such a person, because he or she will most probably not do it. So here we will find six symptoms of a surrendered person. I think it is very important for us to hear these six symptoms, and I will read them in a very unusual rendition. Srila Prabhupada has spoken about these six symptoms of surrender, and he has put them in a slightly different order than they come in this verse, Anukul Yena Sankalpa Pratu Pratikul Yena Varjanam. The first symptom of a surrendered person who surrendered to Krishna is he becomes very meek and humble. A devotee who wants to surrender has to become meek and humble. The second symptom is he dedicates his life for the service of Krishna. The third system is he becomes a member of a spiritual family. Krishna, to become a member of a spiritual family, that is practically to become a devotee. You know, we are all the ISKCON family, the difficult ISKCON family, the difficult, you know, so many individual family members, sometimes it's a little difficult. And the fourth system is to have firm faith that Krishna will protect me. The fifth system is to accept those things favorable for devotional service, and the sixth symptom is to reject those things unfavorable for devotional service. The person who has these symptoms of surrender, he can be instructed by the Supreme Lord and through his servitor, the spiritual master. Someone who has not yet developed these systems, the symptoms of surrender, it will not be possible actually for him to follow spiritual instructions. Let me say it a little bit more clear. To be fully surrendered may be very difficult for us. I don't know how you feel it. To be 100% surrendered according to the standard is not easy. Let us, we are in the family, we can speak openly this morning, no problem. But at least there must be the attempt to know that this is my goal as a pure soul. This is my identity, to be a fully surrendered person. Let me try as much as possible. And at that moment, we are trying, we will see that we will get strength in whatever way we try. If I try a little bit, I will get strength. If I try a little bit more, I will get more strength. But if I try very much, I will get very much strength. However, for if we are not very purified in our consciousness, and if we are not intelligent, we can also, you know, let me say it like this, to surrender also needs a little bit intelligence. If you're fanatic and do, you know, give up sleep, for instance, this has nothing to do with surrender. You must be intelligent. Don't think, in other words, you there's no time for eating and sleeping and associating with devotees and all of that. That is necessary to give us, to put us into a strength where we can surrender. If we are just overdoing it, that will not be very good. Lord Buddha gives a very nice example. You know, when Buddha was a prince, he was surrounded with sense gratification. So after his enlightenment about the miserable situation in this world, he went under a shami tree and he began to practice severe austerities. From this time you can see this Buddha figures where you can count all the ribs. Have you seen this? And his stomacho is very much in the back. He is really fasting and meditating and doing so much stragost, so much austerity. That is there. So a Buddha was one day meditating like this, and all of a sudden he heard two men coming. Who were these two men? It was one veena player. That's a stringed instrument, like the sitar, who was instructing his disciple. And he asked his disciples, "Hey Gopal, when can you play best on your veena? When the string is very tight, or when it is very loose?" Can't do it, I don't want, this is a pavitra, it's holy, but I will just show, when it's very, or when it is very loose. So Gopa said, "Well, Master, it shouldn't be too tight, and it should also not be too loose. It should be rightly tuned." Then, gling, 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 gling. This is a little bit how a veena sounds. It sounds just perfect. And Buddha heard it. And he draw a different conclusion from it. He said, his conclusion was, "Well, if I can't realize the truth, if I'm too tight, like now, I'm just not eating and not sleeping and not, too, how do you say, too tense inside. But I also cannot realize the truth if I'm too loose, like when I was the king." And this is how Buddha developed what is called the golden Weg. Is it the golden Weg? Or the mittlere Weg? Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry, I forgot how the Buddhists say it. It's a, the in-between. Neither the extreme, not extremes. You follow? We say from this example, we say in German, der goldene Mittelweg. The golden path which goes in between. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita also speaks about this when he discusses who can be a yogi. He says, it's not the one who eats too much, but it's also not the one who eats too little. It's not the one who does too much, it's also not the one who does too little. One who is temperate. The German word for temperate is ausgeglichen. What is the Italian word? Equilibrato. Yes, it sounds right. One who is equilibrato, or whatever. Who's temperate in his habits, he can be a yogi. So when we are talking about these six symptoms of surrender, to accept everything favorable for the service and to reject everything unfavorable. Become very meek and humble, to dedicate our life for the service of Krishna, to become a member of a spiritual family, and to have firm faith that Krishna will protect us When we want to do this and become a bhakti yogi, it doesn't mean we become an extremist who tortures himself or herself in some way by some unnatural form of renunciation and so on. But this is my point, really. It means we do things which are favorable for the will of the Lord. You can't become a devotee, and you can't also become a disciple if you always continue to do what you want. You have to find out what is Krishna's desire, and this you do by finding out from your spiritual master. Now, sometimes materialists who are trying to understand the guru-disciple relationship, they offer a great criticism. And I think we should look at this criticism for a moment. The criticism of a materialist is that if someone always acts because someone else tells him that this is bad for his personal growth. Oh, you are very tired this morning. And do you know why you are tired? It is because of the weather. When the weather changes and it becomes fog, one becomes more tired. I also had to take 20 minutes rest in between the rounds. This is the explanation. But at the same time, it's such an important subject matter. We must be able to listen to this. What should we do, Aranya? Maybe you run around the house for a moment, or this is now a very important challenge. We must face it with an intellect. The challenge is that when we always do what someone else tells us, we will become totally inefficient in our life. Let us look at this challenge without becoming nervous for a moment. Ooh, Bhakti Rabia is a very practical man. I find that this challenge, we must look at it and see if there is some truth. And I have found some truth in this challenge. It is a fact, if someone only does something because someone else tells him, he will not do it when the other person is not there. You know, if you have a very tyrannical temple president who tells you, bom, 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 do this, you do it. But as soon as he goes to somewhere else, to India, the whole temple becomes just the opposite. This we have seen. It's the problem with authority. If someone is a very strong authority all the time, then when he is not there, the persons under his care can't do anything. They will not do anything. Because the only motivation which they had to do something was because that person told them. Do you understand the situation? Like in the school, we were like this. We had this heavy teacher. And when the teacher was not there, you know, we behaved like wild men. But when he came, yoop, we went like... I think we all know. Or you remember in your relationship to your father, Like my father told me so many no's, and you know, I did it when I was at home, because otherwise he wouldn't give me money and would give me many punishments. But when I was out of the door, I was, you know, and just acting in any way I pleased. So this is a known problem with authoritarian rules, that the people really don't learn anything practically. They are actually spoiled, because they act just exactly the opposite than the authorities there. It's not possible in life to be, how do you say, to always have an authority around you. So let us now study. We were saying we must surrender to our spiritual master, and we were hearing this morning that this means to say yes to whatever he says. And the moment you feel it's not correct, I can't do this, you are fallen. So is it really good to follow the spiritual master like this? We can ask this question. We are today, there are many intellectual devotees here, so we are not afraid to even ask questions about things which we consider holy. How good is it really to follow like this our spiritual master? Will we develop into good and mature persons, or will we just be yes men? And the moment the spiritual master is not there, we go like, you know, and do anything we want. This is a very. Do you feel that this is an interesting question? Good. Now, to answer this question, I want to first of all correct a misunderstanding. Following the spiritual master is only possible if we want to do it. If we are on the platform that we feel we must and we don't really want to do it, then it will be very difficult to follow the spiritual master. And Krishna, he knows this. And he deals with this question in the 18th chapter at the end of his instructions. He says to Arjuna, "Thus I give you knowledge still more confidential. Deliberate on this folly and then do what you wish to do." Krishna doesn't want Arjuna to do things which he is not convinced of. He says, do what you yourself wish to do. I have explained to you everything. And one of the purposes yes, and in this purpose, here the words, I want to read this to you, maybe, yes. Yate chasi tatakuru means as you like, you may act. This indicates that God does not interfere with the little independence of the living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord has explained, in all respects, how one can elevate his living condition. The best advice imparted to Arjuna is to surrender unto the super soul seated within his heart. By right discrimination, one should agree to act according to the order of the super soul. That will help one become situated constantly in Krishna consciousness, the highest perfectional stage of human life. Arjuna is being directly ordered by the personality of Godhead to fight. Surrender to the supreme personality of Godhead is in the best interest of the living entities. It is not for the interest of the supreme. Before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligent goes. That is the best way to accept the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such instruction comes also through the spiritual master, the bona fide representative of Krishna. See, Krishna says to Arjuna, my advice to you is surrender to this instruction, to fight. But I don't want you to act if you don't want to. Krishna was prepared to repeat the whole Bhagavad Gita if necessary. See, the relationship of the spiritual master and the disciple is that the spiritual master will explain to the disciple, do like this, this is the best for you. And the disciple should ask questions. Oh, Guru Maharaj, I really can't understand it. It's the duty of the disciple to ask these questions. It's very, very important. One of the five points in surrendering to the spiritual master is to ask questions to him. Why is this like this? Please explain to me. I am an ignorant soul. If you don't do this, but become a blind yes man, there will be a time in your life where you can't be a yes man any longer, where it is totally impossible for you, and where you will break the order of the spiritual master, and where you will just go in the distance and have a lousy relationship to him and suffer very much because of this. You must ask questions until it is clear. And when it is clear, you must act according to the instructions. And if it is not clear, ask again. This is how we learn is the ideal relationship of the spiritual master, which comes in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. See, Arjuna did not want to really fight. He really didn't want it. It was impossible for him. We hear in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita that the Gandiva bow fell out of his hand, his mouth became dry, and he cried. He was so insecure, you cannot believe it. Those of you who know Ayurveda know it's almost impossible to cry when your mouth gets dry. You must be totally disturbed. I don't know how Matajis sometimes cry. Please investigate it and analyze it. Can you cry when your mouth is dry? This is the question. Maybe Anita, you can give us an answer on this. Not now. You will need to experiment. You know, I think it's not possible. You please tell us. We have some research, scientific research work, or the man also. Next time you cry, investigate this. I couldn't find it out up till now because it's very rarely that I cry. It was a few years back. Maybe you can also ask Bala Rupa to find out, because Mataji's cry have more emotions. Yeah, I really would like to know this, but I personally speculate it's impossible. Either you cry and your mouth is wet, or your mouth is dry and you can't cry. But it seems logical. But anyways, we will now get, we have a research team of devotees. They will tell us. So Arjuna, really, this is enough. Arjuna did not want to fight. He really did not want. And he couldn't. His bow slipped out of his hand. After Krishna told him, now tell me what you just do what you wish to do. Arjuna answered in text 37 of the 18th chapter. He said, "My dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt and am prepared to act according to your instruction." He said, "Yes, sir." Maybe we want to repeat here this. One should obey the command of his father or spiritual master with due deference. What actually means deference? To defer. Deference. It sounds like reference, but reference means respect. No, with due deference. It means something like without hesitation, because Prabhupada explains it like this. Saying, "Yes, sir." What? Submission. Who says? You. Good. We accept you. With due submission, saying, "Yes, sir." Arjuna says it. "My illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I can remember everything. I am now firm and free from doubt and am prepared to act according to your instruction." Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is acting according to Krishna's order. A conditioned soul, illusioned by the external energy of matter, does not know that the Lord is the master who is full of knowledge and who is the proprietor of everything. Whatever he desires, he can bestow upon his devotees. So, yes. So we must act according to this order of the Lord. Prabhupada says the constitutional position of a living entity represented by Arjuna is that he has to act according to the order of the Supreme Lord. This is so important. If you want to become a disciple, a real disciple, you must act according to the order of the Lord, which comes through you, to you through your spiritual master. Otherwise, you cannot be a real disciple. But as we have pointed out in our lecture, it does not mean to become just a blind follower, because it is not possible. It means to we should ask questions until we are so clear and enthusiastic and inspired that we want to do it like that. This is the right relationship. And if you become such a disciple, Krishna will answer your prayer always, and you will be always inspired. See, there are two types of disciples. One is the Guru Sevi, the one who serves the Guru, and the other is the Guru Bhogi, the one who wants to enjoy the Guru. I was remembering how Prabhupada told us a joke about the Guru Bhogi in Germany. He said about, he, it was about a disciple who bought an airplane. Airplane means aeroplane. Aeroplane, yes, the same word. And this disciple asked him, the guru asked him, from where did you get the money to buy this expensive airplane? Don't know how much an airplane is. It is, we can imagine it. It is very expensive. I think more expensive than Ramakeli, isn't it? Maybe. Do you have any idea about Delavia? It depends which airplane, yes. You're right. Right, there are many there. I don't know what type.
You can buy one cheap helicopter for half a
million. A cheap helicopter for half a million, right? Cheap money. So, the spiritual master wanted to know, from where did you get this money? And the disciple said, it's your money. In other words, he took the money of it from his spiritual master to buy himself an airplane. That's a guru bogey. So, if we don't want to be guru bogies, we must be guru surrendis, you know. We must surrender to the spiritual master. This is what spiritual life means. If you just do what you want, that's not really spiritual life. It is something else. Hare Krishna. So I will want to, I'm ending here, but I want to see if there are any questions regarding this, and I will try my best to answer them. I know that this is a very intense subject matter. I know that you will think about it after this class. Please also talk amongst yourself about this subject matter. Krishna. Because it's such a serious subject matter, I want to also give you a little personal realization which I have. As I said at the beginning, in my life as a disciple, I'm thinking often about my relationship to my spiritual master. And to tell you very honestly, it is not always very easy for me to be a fully surrendered disciple, because I do have so many thoughts on my own, it's so many observations. Sometimes I'm also wondering, if Prabhupada would be in the modern, would be here in 1998, how would he answer certain questions which are very much moving in the minds of devotees? And I somehow know how he would answer the questions. I feel that because I've asked him so many times these questions, and I feel that there is an answer. But I wanted to just tell you, as disciples, everyone, Prabhupada disciple, and also the disciples of new gurus, the new gurus after Prabhupada, think about this question of surrendering to the spiritual master like anything. It's a difficult question sometimes. But I have found out in my own life, whenever I make the decision that I want to follow the instructions, even the difficult ones, that all of a sudden in my heart I feel the strength. It comes. Sometimes it takes days to wrestle, until I finally, because some instructions are very detailed, and you can do it like this or that, and certainly no one would object, and so on and so forth. But you in your heart know you're not following 100% what he wants. Then you just wrestle yourself. It takes a few days maybe, and then you, okay, let me at least try. And when you come to this realization, all of a sudden, what is happening in my life? Oh, I'm getting the milost here. Milost means mercy. I'm getting the mercy here. Oh, and then it happens. Okay, so we will end here. Do you have any questions regarding these subject matters? Can a disciple who chants the Gayatri Mantra surrender more? Surrendering more does not depend, or let me say it positively, surrendering more depends actually on being more connected to the spiritual master. If a devotee feels more connected to his or her spiritual master, the result will be that he is more clear about the instructions of the spiritual master. See, our connection to the spiritual master is through following his understanding and following his instructions. Our connection to the spiritual master is not a sentiment that we feel just more, you know. Obviously, it's something which also is felt with our sentiments, with our feelings. But when I meant, I wanted to, let me say it like this. The connection to our spiritual master is not a blind sentiment that you, you know, it's not like you have a, like little boys and girls adore rock and roll stars. But if it's really a connection, it's based on understanding, appreciating, and following the instructions. It must be there, that not only understanding, but appreciating, and then following the instructions. So, Dhanishtha is asking now the difficult question, is this easier for a Brahman-initiated disciple? Dhanishtha, this is a very difficult question. Because there are two different answers of Srila Prabhupada. One answer is that he said once about first initiation, that this means accepting, that the disciple accepts the spiritual master, and second initiation means that the spiritual master accepts the disciple. Have you heard this? But then there are also other answers where he says the disciple is accepted from the moment of that initiation, and it seems he refers here to the first initiation. Now, there are two answers. You know my answer. You are asking, obviously, as my disciple, and you want to know what I think. It's a personal question, because Dhanishtha will get the second initiation. I don't know if you know already. She will be a Brahmin in the few days left. obviously that is the question now. My understanding of it is that at least this is what I personally believe in and what I personally do. I accept a disciple with everything what it means, with my full responsibility towards Krishna and Srila Prabhupada and the disciple with the first initiation. And I think many of my godbrothers I have discussed with them are also feeling like that. So that's my answer. But I can imagine that other spiritual masters would answer this question differently. I can imagine. And they have their realizations and their reasons, and it is totally, it's 100% a correct answer. So I can only give, because I know what you mean with the question. Also, as a Brahman-initiated disciple, we have to work on establishing a very firm relationship with our spiritual master. You know, if it would mean that the connection is more with Brahman initiation, then Brahman initiates wouldn't fall, but they fall as easy as the first initiates. That's our observation. Many Brahman devotees who have given up their vows, unfortunately, for whatever reason. This question what you are answering is one more connected, is not dependent on this. You can be, even sannyasis have given up their vows. The connection to one's spiritual master is something which is in the heart. Yes, have I answered the question? It's a difficult question. Hope I have answered it correctly. Good. Any other question? I saw this devotee first. What's your name, Prabhu? Ramchandra. I'm sorry, you told me yesterday. Yes, Ramchandra Prabhu. Why does a devotee not accept, and a young devotee, uninitiated devotee, why does he not accept the spiritual master? And why does he accept, and the other extreme is he accepts one blindly? I think the first answer can be given very easily. He doesn't have yet the faith, therefore he doesn't accept. And why someone accepts them blindly? I think it is it's a human tendency to find a leader and project. It's many times due to projection. I want to tell you, Ramachandra, those of us who were in Russia, our God brothers who were in Russia, they can tell you stories about someone just seeing only the left finger of one spiritual master coming through the door and knowing this is my eternal guru, and then having the Slavic mentality is really wild when it comes to, they somehow project all their hopes in such a person, and then when they find out he's different from their projections, they reject him as easily. Yes, blind acceptance is maybe even more dangerous than if someone waits and has not yet faith. On the long run, maybe. So So you look all very thoughtful. This is very nice. This is the intention of this class. Please read the verse 3:24. 12 to 13. It's a very, very important verse, and you will really benefit by understanding it. One needs to read it in his own time. Stop for a moment, think about it, continue, think again, and then become a fully surrendered disciple. Hare Krishna. Want to end here? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi go nitai ki jai, go premanandi ariyari go.